This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Ready? Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen wa salatu wa salam ala abdillahi wa rasulih nabiyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. So inshallah ta'ala we're starting or continuing on from our last class. Who were we talking about in our last class? Yes, Mu'ad.
Abu Bakr.
Abu Bakr, radiallahu anhu. Okay, very good. I sent you a homework. Do you remember what the homework was? What was it? What was he responsible for before he became a Muslim? Okay. So did you research? If you didn't research it, don't put up your hand. You researched it. Okay, so Danny says he researched it. Who else said they researched it? Yusuf says he researched it. Girls say they know. That's it. Like, final. They know. Okay, we'll hear from the girls. Go on then, tell us what it was. Go on, girls, tell us what it was. He was responsible for debt, the debts of Quraysh and the blood money. So if someone got killed and they had to decide, are we going to pay them, their family, or not pay their family, and how much we're going to pay them, and all of that stuff, that was Abu Bakr's responsibility. Okay, very good. I want to tell you something about when Abu Bakr became Muslim. Before Abu Bakr became Muslim, it said that he also went to Waraqa ibn Nawfal. You remember Waraqa? Where do you remember Waraqa from? Whose story does Waraqa come in? Whose story does Waraqa come in? Waraqa ibn Nawfal. He was Khadija's cousin, radiallahu anha, and he was the one who told the Prophet what happened to him in the cave. Do you remember in the seerah, in the cave?
Yeah.
When Jibreel squeezed him and said, Iqra, read, and he said, Ma'ana biqari, I can't read. Yeah? And they went to Waraqa and he told the Prophet what happened. It said that Abu Bakr also went to Waraqa. And he told Waraqa that, or Waraqa told him, that a prophet was going to come with the best lineage of all of the people. Who was the best, or who has the best lineage out of all the people? Who had the best tribe? Quraysh, right? And out of Quraysh, who was the best tribe? Inside of Quraysh was Banu Hashim, the tribe of Hashim. And who was the best person from the tribe of Hashim? This is an easy question.
Abu Lahab.
Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Okay. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Very good. So Abu Bakr knew that the Prophet was going to come. And Abu Bakr, we said he didn't worship any idols, and we said that he didn't used to drink alcohol. Okay, who told Abu Bakr to become a Muslim? That's the easy question. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Excellent. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Abu Bakr believed in him straight away. He didn't delay at all. He didn't hesitate. Straight away he believed in him. And later on, there was something happened. And it was a little argument happened between Umar and between Abu Bakr. There was an argument between them. And Umar and Abu Bakr, they had a little fight. This was when they were in Medina. And Abu Bakr, he felt like he was a little bit wrong towards Umar, and Umar felt like he was a little bit wrong towards Abu Bakr. So Abu Bakr came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he said, me and Umar had a fight. Okay, with me so far? Abu Bakr came to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, me and Umar had a fight. And I asked him to forgive me, but he refused to forgive me. He says, no, I'm not going to forgive you. So then Umar, he went there, and he went to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the Prophet was angry with Umar. He was very upset with him, he was angry with him. Until Abu Bakr felt sorry for Umar. And he said, oh Messenger of Allah, I was worse to him than he was to me. أَنَا كُنْتُ أَظْلَمَ مَرَّتَيْنِ I was double as bad, I was twice as bad. Or he said twice, أَنَا كُنْتُ أَظْلَمَ I mean, I was the one who was worse. And he said it twice. The Prophet ﷺ, he says something amazing about Abu Bakr. He said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ بَعَثَنِي إِلَيْكُمْ فَقُلْتُمْ كَذَبْتَ وَقَالَ أَبُو بَكْرٍ صَدَقٍ He said, Allah sent me to you, and all of you people said to me, you lied. And only Abu Bakr said, you told the truth. You understand? That when the Prophet was sent, everybody didn't, but nobody believed. Nobody accepted him. Nobody believed in him. Except Abu Bakr. And then he said, وَوَاسَانِي بِنَفْسِهِ وَمَالِهِ And he helped me with himself and his money. فَهَلْ أَنْتُمْ تَارِكُ لِصَاحِبِي He said, why don't you leave my companion alone for me? And nobody say anything to Abu Bakr. Nobody say anything to Abu Bakr. They said, فَمَا أُوذِيَ وَفَمَا أُوذِيَ بَعْدَهَا فَمَا أُوذِيَ بَعْدَهَا Nobody ever hurt Abu Bakr after that day. And even though Abu Bakr said to the Prophet, I was the one, I did worse to him. He said, Abu Bakr was the one who believed in me when nobody else believed in me. And Abu Bakr is the one who helped me with himself and his wealth when everybody else refused to give their help. So you have to leave Abu Bakr alone. Like you can't say anything bad about him and you can't hurt him and you can't make him upset. So that's one of the things from the early time of we know about Abu Bakr. Abu Bakr was the first free person to accept Islam. And he was the first person to pray apart from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And that Khadija was the first woman to accept Islam. And Zayd ibn Haritha was the first freed slave to accept Islam. And Ali ibn Abi Talib was the first child to accept Islam. One of the amazing things about Abu Bakr is that four generations of one family were all companions of the Prophet ﷺ. Can anyone figure out how that was with Abu Bakr's family? Four generations of people, that means father, son, grandson, great-grandson, like that. All of them were companions. All of them were companions. How can that be? So definitely we have Abu Bakr. Okay, who else from Abu Bakr's family can we say? If we go upwards, who became Muslim from his family?
Umar.
His father, right? His father became Muslim. Yeah, Abu Quhafa, Uthman, he became Muslim. What about Abu Bakr's children? They became Muslim. Do we remember some of their names? Who can remember some of his children's names? Abu Bakr's children. Aisha, Abdul Rahman, Abdullah, Asma, Kulthum. Okay, so from those children, I want to know which one of them had children that were also companions. Aisha didn't have any children, right? Aisha never had any children. Who among those children had children that were also companions, or had a child who was also a companion? There's more than one. Also Muhammad and Abu Bakr as well. No. From Asma, right? Asma had children. From Asma's children were Abdullah ibn Zubayr. You heard of Abdullah ibn Zubayr? You told you about Zubayr ibn Awam, one of the 10 who were promised paradise, right?
I don't know, because my dad just told me I'm
wrong. Yeah? Abdullah ibn Zubayr, his mother was Asma. Her father was Abu Bakr. Abu Bakr's father was? Come on, guys, wake up. Abu Quhafa. That makes 4 generations. All of them were companions. All of them were companions. At different times. They didn't become Muslim all at the same time. They didn't become Muslim all at the same time. Okay. Out of Abu Bakr's family, who came Muslim? Who became Muslim first? Or who became Muslim early on? And who became Muslim later?
His daughter.
His daughter. Asma, Aisha, they became Muslim very quickly. And Abdullah, but not Abdurrahman. Abdurrahman was late becoming Muslim. He fought Abu Bakr, he fought against Abu Bakr in the battle of Badr. And you know what he said to him? It's a really amazing thing. He said, Dad, in the battle of Badr, I had you in my sight. I could have killed you. But you are my dad, so I let you go. What did Abu Bakr say back to him? What do you think? You get what he said? He said, in the battle of Badr, I had a chance to get you. I had a chance to hit you with a sword or arrow. But you are my dad, so I let you go. What did Abu Bakr say back to him?
You're my child?
Yeah, he said. But not I let you go.
Thank you.
Not thank you. No. This was after Abdurrahman became Muslim. He said that, Dad, in the battle of Badr, I had a chance to get you. And you are my father, I let you go because you're my dad. I didn't get that. He said, Son, if you came in my sight, I would not have let you go. I would have killed you for the sake of Allah. I wouldn't have let you go. What does that show about Abu Bakr? What does that show about Abu Bakr?
He respects Allah.
That he loves Islam more than everything. He even loved Islam more than his own children. He said, Son, if you came in my sight, I would not have let you. I wouldn't have let you go. Because Islam was more important to him than everything else. Okay, I want to ask you a question. But the girls need to fix their internet connection again, because it's gone, it's dropped again. Okay, let's try it. Let's see. Maybe it's working now. Let's see. Okay, it's working now. Okay, I've got a question. The 10 people promised paradise, how many of them became Muslim because of Abu Bakr? So how many do we have to choose from? What's the number we have to choose from? Not 10. 9, because Abu Bakr is one of them. Okay? Okay, out of the 10 who became, out of the 10, leave Abu Bakr aside, that's 9 other people. Boys, listen, 10 people promised paradise. Leave Abu Bakr aside, that makes 9 people. How many of those 9 people became Muslim because of Abu Bakr? Hands up if you think, and girls, you can just tell me how many people put their hands up. How many hands up if you think one of them, one other person became Muslim because of Abu Bakr? Okay, what about 2? What about 3? Okay, a few boys, there's at least one who thinks 3 out of 9 became Muslim because of Abu Bakr. What about 4? Yeah, most of the boys think 4 out of 9 became Muslim because of Abu Bakr. Anyone think 5? Most of the girls think 2. Anyone think 5? Oh, 2 girls think 4. Okay, sorry. What about 5? One boy. What about 6? One boy. You guys are right. 6 out of 9 of the 10 people who were promised paradise, 6 out of 9 became Muslim because of Abu Bakr. They were Az-Zubayr, and Uthman, and Talha, and Sa'd, and Abu Ubaidah, and Abdul Rahman ibn Auf. All of them became Muslim because of the efforts of Abu Bakr. Because of the guidance of Allah, and then because of the efforts of Abu Bakr. So we said from Abu Bakr's family, Asma and Aisha and Abdullah, and Aisha's mother, Ruman, and Abu Bakr's servant, Amr bin Hayra, all of them were from the people who became Muslim in the early days. Okay. Now I want to ask you a question. I want to actually tell you a story, first of all. In the early days of the da'wah in Makkah, the early days when Abu Bakr told the people about Islam in Makkah. And what happened was that Abu Bakr, he wanted to preach openly. He wanted to tell everyone in the open about Islam. Because in the beginning, people were Muslim in secret, right? People were not Muslim in the open. They didn't used to go around and say, I'm a Muslim. They used to be hiding. So Abu Bakr wanted to say it openly. So what happened is each person went to their tribe in a different place in Makkah, in the around the Kaaba, and they stood up and they started telling the people about Islam. And Abu Bakr stood up and he told his people about Islam. And he said he was the first person to tell people about Islam apart from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And what happened is he was beaten so badly that he nearly died. And they carried him back to his house. And they said that he was beaten up so badly you couldn't tell the front of his head from the back of his head, from how badly they beat him up. Because he said something good about Islam. When they were trying to treat him in his house, they were trying to see if he was going to get better. What do you think Abu Bakr was worried about? What do you think, Anas? He was worried about the Prophet ﷺ. And he wouldn't even think about himself. He wouldn't think about himself until he heard about the Prophet ﷺ. And what he did is he actually got 2 people to carry him to where the Prophet ﷺ was, even though he was really, really sick, that they thought he was going to die. They carried him until he could see the Prophet ﷺ was okay. Until he could know that the Prophet ﷺ was okay. And at that time, One of the people that carried him to the Prophet ﷺ was his mother. And when she carried him to the Prophet ﷺ and he found out he was okay, she became Muslim. At that time, she accepted Islam. So that shows how Abu Bakr used to be with the Prophet ﷺ. How do you think Abu Bakr, what kind of a person Abu Bakr was? What do you know about Abu Bakr as a person? What kind of person was he? We spoke about this last week, so you should know some good answers.
He was a good man.
He was a good person, very good. He was the best of all of the people after the prophets. He was
kind.
He was kind. Generous. Good. He was soft-hearted, right? He used to cry a lot. You know, they asked Ali ibn Abi Talib about Abu Bakr, and do you know what he said? He said he was the bravest of all of us. He didn't say the most generous, the softest, the kindest. He said he was the bravest out of all of us. In the time when the Prophet ﷺ was in the most danger, Abu Bakr is the first one who would go to defend him. And in all of the battles, he stayed next to the Prophet ﷺ. He didn't leave him, even when all the people left. So they said he wasn't just soft and gentle, he was very, very brave. He was very brave. He was the first person to be hurt for the sake of Allah after the Prophet ﷺ. He was the first person to tell people about Islam after the Prophet ﷺ. He was the first person to accept Islam after the Prophet ﷺ. And he was the first person to fight for Islam with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Abu Bakr is really famous for freeing the slaves, right? So do you know some of the stories? I'm going to tell you just a little bit about some of the stories. The first people to openly admit that they were Muslim. Do you know who they were? Can you guess? Who were the first people who openly said in front of everyone that I'm a Muslim? Definitely the Prophet ﷺ for sure. Who else you think?
Bilal
was one of them, definitely. Bilal was one of the seven who was one of the first people to ever openly say, I'm a Muslim. Now bear in mind that at that time that Bilal was telling people he was a Muslim, he was a slave. Which means he was in a lot of danger, because you cannot, when you're a slave, somebody, they will beat you, they will torture you, they will hurt you, because they don't think you're anything. They think you are very low. And even though he was a slave, he used to openly tell the people, I'm a Muslim. Okay, who else is famous that they used to, that they were the first people to say that they were Muslim?
Umar,
because Umar became Muslim later on, remember? Umar didn't become Muslim early on like that. It was a little bit later on. Abu Bakr was one of them. So now we've got three. The Prophet ﷺ and Abu Bakr and Bilal. One of the first three people who used to tell people openly that I'm a Muslim. The family of Yasir. Have you heard of them? The Prophet ﷺ said to them, Sabran ala Yasir fa inna maw'idakum al-jannah. Be patient, O family of Yasir, because you're going to paradise. You heard of Sumayya? She was the first woman to be killed in Islam. She was killed because she was one of the first people to openly say, I'm a Muslim. Even though she was a slave and she had no power over the other people, and she was very weak, but she openly said to everybody, I'm a Muslim. And she was one of the first people to be killed, along with Ammar. So Sumayya and Ammar and Abu Bakr and Bilal and Suhaib. Have you heard of Suhaib's story? Suhaib al-Rumi. He was one of the first people to say that he was a Muslim. And they said al-Miqdad. So there were a group of them who said they were Muslim. Now, out of all those people, the Prophet ﷺ had some protection from Allah, but he had some protection from who was given, who was trying to stop people from hurting him. After Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who was Abu Talib? The girls jumped in straight away and said, his uncle Abu Talib. So even though his uncle was not a Muslim, but his uncle said, don't touch my nephew. You touch my nephew, you're going to have to touch me first. So you keep away from him, don't touch him. Why do you think he said that? If he wasn't a Muslim. Okay, the girls have got an answer. I want to hear the boys' answer. Abu Talib defended the Prophet ﷺ even though he wasn't a Muslim. Why?
Because he had no parents.
You're not far. Yeah, you are in a way. You're not. You're kind of close. Because he had no parents, you are kind of close. But that wasn't the real reason.
Because he loved the Prophet.
Yeah, but why did he love him? Because he wasn't a Muslim. What the girl said is true, that he kind of in his heart he secretly liked Islam. That's true. But the main reason is they were from the same tribe. It's his nephew. It's my nephew. It doesn't matter what he says or what he believes in, but it's my nephew. Don't touch him. Abu Bakr had a little bit of protection after the help of Allah. Where did Abu Bakr get his protection from? After Allah. Who was giving him? His tribe. His people were giving him. His people of his tribe. They didn't want anyone to touch Abu Bakr because Abu Bakr was one of the best of them. So they didn't want to bring a bad name on themselves. So they said, nobody touch Abu Bakr. Even then, they still touched Abu Bakr. But who did Bilal have to help him after Allah? Who was there to protect him? Before Abu Bakr. You know what the answer is? Nobody. He was a slave. He didn't have a tribe to help him. He didn't have any family to back him up. He didn't have anyone to help him at all. Nobody at all. Apart from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they treated him so badly that they put him in the burning sun. They put him in the burning sun and they put a big rock on his chest. And they said, we're going to leave you there until you stop believing in Islam. Does anyone know what Bilal used to say when they were beating him and they put him in the sun and they put a rock on his chest? Yeah, the girls know. Do the boys know what he used to say? Very simple, very simple. He just said one word only. He said, Ahad un Ahad. Allah is one, one. Only one. They took his water away from him. They took his food and water away from him. And they left him in the sun with a big rock on his chest. And he just kept saying, one, one. When Abu Bakr saw him like that, Abu Bakr said, why are you doing this to this poor person? What's he done to you? Why are you doing this to him? So his owner, the owner of Bilal, was Umayyah ibn Khalaf. He said, you did this to him. You, Abu Bakr, your fault. So you fix it now. He said to him, it's your fault, Abu Bakr. You did this to him. What does he mean, you did this to him?
Because he made him leave Islam.
And you told him about Islam, and you were one of the people who told him to be a Muslim. So now you fix the problem. So Abu Bakr said, okay, I'll fix it. In one of two ways. Some of the stories say he swapped Bilal for someone who was not a Muslim. Another person that Abu Bakr he had that was not a Muslim, and he swapped him. And some of them he says he bought Bilal for either 7 or 40 measures of gold. And a lot of gold, and he paid so that Bilal could be free. And when he bought him, he said, you're free. And he let him go. Now, what do you think was the benefit after Bilal became Muslim? What was the benefit for Islam?
Because
after Bilal became Muslim? So the girl said more slaves wanted to become Muslim. That's one good one.
He was the first person to say the iqama.
Okay, so we'll come to the adhan and the iqama, inshallah, we'll come to it later in the story in Medina. What do you know about Bilal from that story? What do you know about him already before that story? What can you tell about someone who they get a stone put on their chest in the middle of the burning desert with no water and they don't change? They're strong, right? And brave. So all that strength and that bravery, he put it for Islam. Because he wasn't a slave anymore. And he didn't have to do what Umayyah ibn Khalaf told him. So he used it all for Islam. And that came about because of Abu Bakr. But that wasn't the only person that Abu Bakr freed. In fact, many of the slaves, Abu Bakr used to free them. He freed two slaves. There were two girls who became Muslim. They were slaves and they were carrying flour for the person who owned them, and he freed them like that. He used to free so many of the slaves. And this is the reason that Allah said about him, وَسَيُجَنَّبُهَا الْأَتْقَى الَّذِي يُؤْتِي مَالَهُ يَتَزَكَّى. That Abu Bakr, who has the most taqwa, is going to be the one who keeps away from Allah's punishment, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he used to give his wealth for Allah. He used to give his wealth for Allah. What do you think Abu Bakr's father thought about Abu Bakr freeing the slaves? What do you think? He didn't think good. He said to him, why don't you free strong men? The strong men will fight for you. You're freeing these weak people. They're being tortured. They're poor people, some women, some old people. Why are you freeing these people? Why don't you free the young, strong people that they can, you know, you can make some people to fight for you. You can have somebody who's going to fight for you. But why did Abu Bakr free those people? Did he want someone to fight for him? Is that why he freed Bilal? He wanted for Allah. He didn't want someone to fight for him. Abu Bakr left Makkah. Abu Bakr, he left Makkah. Why do you think he left Makkah? I'm not talking about when he left with the Prophet. So I said, before that he left Makkah. He was going to go to Abyssinia. He was going to go to Al-Habasha. Yeah, he couldn't worship Allah and he was under so much pressure. So he left. He went. And when he left Makkah, he came across a man, Ibn al-Dughlah. And he was a man who was the chief of his tribe. And he met Abu Bakr leaving Mecca. And he said to Abu Bakr, when he was leaving Mecca, he said to him, why are you leaving? Why are you going? He said, my people forced me to leave and I want to go free. I just want to worship Allah. I just want to be free. I'm going to go to Abyssinia, Al-Habasha. And I'm going to worship Allah there. And Ibn al-Dughlah became upset. He said, someone like you, you shouldn't be leaving. Come back with me, I'm going to give you my protection. So he went to the chiefs of, and he was a big chief. He was a big chief. And he wasn't a Muslim, he was a big chief at that time. He said, come back Abu Bakr, come back with me. So he brought Abu Bakr back to Makkah. And he said that he went to the chiefs of Quraysh, all the people that were hurting Abu Bakr. He said, listen, don't mess with Abu Bakr now. Now I'm going to give him protection. Don't touch him. They said, okay, we won't touch him, but we have a condition. What's the condition? Yeah, the girls knew the answer, that he couldn't read Quran outside his house. No praying outside. You want to read Quran, you read in your house. You want to pray, you pray in your house. Why did they not want him to read Quran outside? Because more people might become Muslim, right? So you understood what happened. He went out of Mecca and this chief brought him back and said, no, you don't need to leave. You're a good person. Come back. So he went and he said, he's got my protection. If you touch him, that means me and my tribe, we're going to fight you. So they said, okay, we won't touch him, but we have a condition. He can't pray outside the house and he can't read Quran outside the house. What do you think Abu Bakr did? Do you think he did that? He just prayed in the house? Yeah, but the problem is he agreed he wasn't going to read Quran outside the house and pray outside the house. The girls know the answer.
He went somewhere else?
He turned the outside of his house into a masjid. He built the outside of his house. He built the outside of his house as a masjid. And he went in there and he started reading Quran and praying in front of everybody, but still in his house. Oh, Quraysh were very upset. They were angry. They were very upset. So they went back to Ibn al-Dughla. They said to him, look, we are in agreement with you. We respect you. You said don't touch him, we don't touch him. But now come on, he's outside in his courtyard praying and reading Quran. So Ibn al-Dughla went to Abu Bakr and he said, look, you know, we had agreement, you can't pray outside and you can't do this, you know, you can't read the Quran outside and stuff like that. So, you know, you have a choice. Either you're going to have to, you know, stop that, go back to your house and go inside your house, or either, I'm sorry, I'm going to have to just take away the protection from you. I can't give you protection anymore. So what do you think Abu Bakr did? You know Abu Bakr now. What do you think he did? Sorry?
He left
it. He said, I don't want your protection. Allah's protection. Allah's protection is enough for me. I don't want protection from you. I've got Allah's protection. I'm happy. After all of that time in Mecca, the Prophet ﷺ, he was waiting for permission to go to Medina. And Abu Bakr decided one day he was going to go to Medina by himself, maybe with his family, with Aisha and with Asma and Abdullah. So Abu Bakr decided he was going to go to Medina. The Prophet ﷺ, he didn't let him go. He said, stay where you are, because maybe you're going to have someone come with you. Who does he mean that you're going to have someone come with you? The Prophet ﷺ himself, that he's going to come with you. So Abu Bakr kept two animals ready all the time. And it's like two cars, right? Like two bikes or two animals. He kept it ready all the time, just ready, waiting. When is the Prophet ﷺ going to come with me? We're going to go to Medina. And generally, the Prophet ﷺ used to come twice a day to Abu Bakr's house. Once in the morning and once in the evening. Or, not twice a day, sorry, once a day, either in the morning or either in the evening, not twice a day, once a day. Either he used to come in the very early morning or he used to come in the very late evening. One day, the Prophet ﷺ came to Abu Bakr in the middle of the day. Right in the middle of the day, when the sun is very hot. And Abu Bakr realized that something is going on. And Abu Bakr said to the Prophet ﷺ, O Messenger of Allah, Sahaba, am I going to be your companion? The Prophet ﷺ said, Na'am, yes, you're going to be my companion. And Abu Bakr was so happy, he was crying out of how happy he was. And at that time, nobody knew the Prophet ﷺ was going to leave Mecca except Abu Bakr and Abu Bakr's daughters and Ali ibn Abi Talib. They were the only people who knew that the Prophet ﷺ was going to leave. And when the Prophet ﷺ left, he left with Abu Bakr and they snuck out from Abu Bakr's house. Who did they leave in the place of the Prophet ﷺ? Who stayed behind?
Ali.
Ali ibn Abi Talib, very good. Ali stayed behind. Ali stayed behind. And the Prophet ﷺ, he went with Abu Bakr. And when they went, they didn't go the way to Medina. Why do you think they didn't go the way to Medina? Girls, you can answer this question. Why do you think they didn't go in the direction of Medina? So they wanted to throw people off the scent, like they say. They wanted people to go the wrong way. They finally settled in a cave. They finally settled in a cave in Mount Thawr. And at that time, the only two people in the cave were Abu Bakr and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now I'm going to test you. A lot of people know what happened in the cave. But I'm going to test you about something different. Who used to come to the cave? Or, I can ask you a different way. What was Abu Bakr's family, each of them, doing when it was that time of the cave? They all had a job. Okay, answer me. So bringing food and water. Who was bringing them food and water? Now, Abdurrahman was not a Muslim at that time. Who was bringing them food and water? Very famous.
Abu Bakr.
Abu Bakr was in the cave. He can't bring himself food and water. He's in the cave.
Prophet Muhammad.
Prophet Muhammad is in the cave.
Aisha.
Asma. Asma, she was bringing the food and water. Asma, she was bringing, and she had it tied up in a bag, and she took a part of her waist wrap and she tied it with it. And there was something else that his family was doing. Abdullah, he had a job. Does anyone know what Abdullah's job was to do?
Call the animals.
No, no, that was, we're going to come to the animals in a second. The animals, we're going to come to the animals in a second. Abu Bakr, Abdullah's job was? Yeah, to bring the news of what was happening in the city. So his job was basically to listen to what Quraysh are saying. Are they going this way? Have they sent people that way? And bring the news. But there was a job that Abu Bakr's freed slave had. And this was the job of the animals. And his job was to bring the animals, like, just to wander around. And slowly just bring the animals to near to the cave. So what will they do? They will drink from the milk and everything, and then, you know, just walk past the cave with the animals. So they will take the animals, they will drink the milk, and they will go. But it doesn't look like he stopped at the cave. It just looks like he's just going like every other shepherd, just taking his animals up this way and back this way, up this way and back this way. But actually, every night he's stopping his animals at the cave. And he had one more job to do with the animals. Very important job. One job was for to give them milk and everything like that. But there was another job that was very important for those animals. What do you think?
Look after them.
No.
Give them food.
No. The animals did the job. Not the people didn't do it for the animals. The animals did a very important job. Exactly, they had to erase the footprints of Abdullah and Asma who were coming to the cave. Because Abdullah and Asma keep coming to the cave to drop off the food and water and the news of what's happening. So what they had to do is every time they came, the animals will come and stamp all over the footprints. So Quraysh are looking, they can't find any footprints. There's nobody here. But one time, they came right to the edge of the cave. Quraysh, the people from the non-Muslims, they came right to the edge of the cave. And Abu Bakr got scared. He said to the Prophet ﷺ that if one of them looks at his feet, he's going to see us. Meaning that their feet is here and my head is there. If he looks at his feet, he's going to see me. And the Prophet ﷺ said to him a very famous thing. Very, very famous. He said to him, مَا ظَنُّكَ بِثْنَيْنِ اللَّهُ ثَالِثُهُمَا. He said, what do you think about two people? Allah is the third one of them. Allah is going to keep us safe. Don't think about this. They're going to see us or they're not going to see us. Allah is going to keep us safe. And Allah mentioned this in the Quran. إِذْ يَخُولُ لِصَاحِبِهِ When he said to his companion, لَا تَحْزَنْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَنَا Don't be scared. Allah is with us. فَأَنْزَلَ اللَّهُ سَكِينَتَهُ عَلَيْهِ وَأَيَّدَهُ بِجُنُودٍ لَمْ تَرَوْهَا So Allah made peace go onto the Prophet ﷺ in the cave. And Allah helped him with soldiers that you can't see. Who are the soldiers you can't see?
Angels.
And then when they left the cave, they went on to Medina, and the people of Medina welcomed them. But something funny happened in Medina when they first came. Many people in Medina, they never met the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They never met him. So what do you think happened when him and Abu Bakr came to Medina? What can you imagine happened? Girls, what do you think? They didn't know which one was which. So they would go and they thought maybe Abu Bakr is the Prophet. So they would go and they would greet him. And how do you think they came to know which one is which? I mean, before he said anything, how did they realize that this is Abu Bakr and this is the Prophet? Yeah, the girls know the answer. What do the boys think?
Because you knew Abu Bakr and you didn't know Prophet Muhammad.
Abu Bakr covered him from the sun. The sun was shining on him and Abu Bakr came and he made shade for him. So the people realized, this is the Prophet and this is Abu Bakr. This is Abu Bakr. Abu Bakr, we said, he fought in all of the battles with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He fought in all of these battles. And I'm going to mention to you some of the things that happened to him. When Abu Bakr first came to Medina, he got sick. Because Medina was a place where a lot of people got sick. It was a place where there was a really bad fever and people used to get really sick when they went there. That's why even, do you know what Medina used to be called before it was called Medina? Yes, Anthony. Yathrib. And Yathrib is not a nice name. It's because it was a place where people used to get sick. It's not a nice name. It's a place where people used to get ill and people used to get sick. And the water wasn't clean. The Prophet ﷺ at that time, Abu Bakr and his servant Amir, who used to be his servant, and Bilal were all staying in the same house. Who was in the house? They were staying together. They were living together in the same house. Abu Bakr and his servant Amir and Bilal. And they were all staying in the same house. And they all got sick. They all got the same fever. And Aisha, she went to visit them. And she came back to the Prophet ﷺ and she said that all of them are sick. And that if you will make dua for Allah to take this fever away from Medina. So the Prophet ﷺ made dua for Medina to be more beloved than Makkah. Like, we love Medina even more than Makkah. And to send the fever away to a different place. And so the Prophet ﷺ made dua and the fever went to a different place. And he asked Allah to bless Medina in its measurements and the marketplace, to bless Medina in everything and to make Medina more, people love Medina more than Makkah. Yes, Ma'am.
Where did the fever go?
It went to another city. It went to another city, another town. Let's talk about Abu Bakr quickly. In the battles. So what's the first? You tell me some of the battles and we'll talk about what Abu Bakr did in some of the battles. You tell me what was the first battle that happened, because you did seerah. Girls know the answer. Boys, what was the first, apart from Anas, someone else? First battle.
Uhud.
that happened, the famous battle.
The Battle of Badr.
The Battle of Badr, excellent, well done. So the first thing in the Battle of Badr was, shall we go and fight or shall we not? Because the Muslims were not convinced that we should go. Shall we go? Maybe not. Abu Bakr was the one who encouraged the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whatever you do, we're going to be behind you. This was the time that Abu Bakr stood guard over the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam when no one else did. And this was the time, what do you remember what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did the night before Badr? The night before the battle took place, do you remember what he was doing? Making dua. He was making dua all night. Only one other person stood with him. Who was it?
Abu Bakr.
Abu Bakr. Very good. It was Abu Bakr.
Abu Bakr won all the battles.
It was Abu Bakr. And when the Prophet ﷺ was making dua, he made dua so much that his top, the top he was wearing, it fell from his shoulders. And Abu Bakr was grabbing it and putting it back on his shoulders and telling him that you've made enough dua now. Now you've made enough dua. And they fought in the Battle of Badr, and I told you what happened with Abdurrahman. That his son Abdurrahman was fighting against him on that day. And his son Abdurrahman, he said, "Oh my father, you appeared before me as a clear target on the day of Badr. But I turned away from you so that I didn't kill you." And Abu Bakr said to him, "If you had come before me as a clear target, I wouldn't have left you." Then there was the issue of the prisoners of Badr. So what happened with the prisoners of Badr? What was the thing? What did they have to decide with the prisoners of Badr? What was the decision to make? Yes, Mu'adh?
Which ones? The
ones they captured from the battle. Because when you fight the battle and then you finish the battle, you have some prisoners, right?
We took them.
Sorry?
We took them, the Prophet or the...
Yeah, the Prophet, you took them, yeah.
We teach them Quran.
Okay. Anas, what do you think? Okay, should we let them go for money? That was one option. Shall we pay money and let them go? Or we have to kill them? Or do we have to let them go and we take money? So what did Abu Bakr say?
Salam.
What do you think Abu Bakr said?
Salam.
What do you think Abu Bakr said?
Let them go.
Everybody thinks Abu Bakr said let them go. Anas says no. Yusuf says no. Okay, show of hands. Who thinks Abu Bakr said let them go? Two guys, how many girls? Okay. And how many people think Abu Bakr was the one who said, do away with them? Okay. What do you think Umar said? What do you think?
Let him go.
You think so? Most of the boys think Abu Bakr said, no, we have to finish the job. And Umar said, let them go. No, it's the other way around. Because remember, Umar was very strong and very light, he was very good at fighting and very good in war and battles. And he was very, very strong and very tough. Umar, he said, no, we finished what we started. These people attacked us, they kicked us out of our homes, they fought us for our religion, they tortured people, they hurt people. No, we have to finish it. Don't let them go. Abu Bakr said, let them go. Why did Abu Bakr say to let them go? What did Abu Bakr want? Why did Abu Bakr want to let them go? Yes, Mu'adh.
They give him a test. Would they join Islam or...
Okay, yeah, that's true. What Mu'adh says is completely true. To give them a chance to a chance to accept Islam. That was one thing. What was the other reason why Abu Bakr wanted to let them go? He was soft-hearted, but that wasn't why. Because he wasn't soft-hearted to Abdurrahman. He didn't say to Abdurrahman, he said, if I saw you in the battle, I would have killed you. Why did he want to... It would have been good for the Muslims to have money, the girl said. The Muslims needed money. They were low on money. And each one of them would have paid a large amount of money to let them go. So they said, look, we should let them go. Okay. One day Umar came and he found Abu Bakr and the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ crying. Why were they crying? It's related to the same story. They let them go, they ransomed them. Each one of them paid a lot of money, and if they couldn't pay money, they had to teach a Muslim to read and write. Or to teach Muslims to read and write. Just after that, Umar came and he saw the Prophet ﷺ, Abu Bakr, really upset. And he said, what's making you cry? So if you, I'll cry or I'll make myself cry. What was it?
They all became Muslim?
No, they didn't become Muslim. Girls, do you know? No. What made them cry is that Allah revealed in the Quran that Umar was right and that the decision the Prophet ﷺ made with Abu Bakr was wrong. And Allah revealed it. مَا كَانَ لِنَبِيٍ أَن يَكُونَ لَهُ أَسْرَى. It's not allowed for the Prophet to have prisoners until he makes the Muslims strong on the earth. Until he puts, makes it clear on the earth. So they were upset because they realized that they did that. It was Umar who was right. They should have finished it off. They shouldn't have let them go. But then Allah allowed it for them. And Allah said, فَكُلُوا مِمَّا غَنِمْتُمْ حَلَالًا طَيِّبًا. You can take what you've taken from them, the money you have taken, you can take it and you can use it and it's halal for you. In the Battle of Uhud, what happened to the Muslims in the Battle of Uhud? Who can give me just a little bit? Because we've done it in the seerah, in the battles. Who can tell me a little bit about what happened in the Battle of Uhud? So the Muslims won in the beginning, and then they were too quick. What happened? What did they do? Yes, Anas?
The archers left the mountain.
And when the archers left the mountain, what happened to the Muslims?
They lost.
And they started, many people died. Many good people died. At that time, all the Muslims ran away from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, except a very small number who stayed with him. And Abu Bakr was one of the people who... After the Battle of Uhud, the Prophet straight away wanted another battle. Why do you think, we said in the battles, why do you think he wanted straight away another battle? Sorry? Yeah, you're right, Yusuf, for them to win. Like, so that they don't have the habit that, oh, it didn't go well for us, we should stop. No, straight away, go again. So they went, and on that battle was... Abu Bakr was with them, and Zubayr was with them. And that's when Aisha, she said to Urwa ibn Zubayr, who was Zubayr's other son, she said to him that your father and your grandfather both went out for this. And as Zubayr was there, and so was Abu Bakr, they both went out for this battle after the battle of Uhud. It was called Hamra al-Asad, the battle. Okay, what else do we know about the battles? Which other battles do we know? Which other battles? Yes, Yusuf.
Battle of Uhud.
Battle of Uhud we just spoke about now. The Battle of the Trench, Abu Bakr was involved in the Battle of the Trench as well. And he had a big role to play in that. رضي الله عنه. What else do we know about the battles? Which other battles do we know about? Or which other things in the seerah do we know about? One of the big ones that happened was the Treaty of Hudaybiyah. Do you remember that? What happened in the Treaty of Hudaybiyah? So we did it. I know some of you are new in the class, so you might not remember because you came to the class afterwards. But we did this in the class. What were the Muslims trying to do? They were trying to what? They were trying to make a battle, or they were trying to do something different? Good, girls know the answer. What were they trying to do?
Trying to win.
No, good try. The girls know the answer. They were trying to make Umrah. They were trying to go to Umrah. And when they tried to go to Umrah, they didn't want to fight. They just wanted to go to Umrah, to Makkah. And the non-Muslims, they didn't let them go to Umrah. And they wouldn't let them go. So what happened? The Prophet ﷺ agreed to make a treaty with them. Do you know what a treaty is? What's a treaty? An agreement, right? Very good. An agreement with them. Was this a nice agreement or not? What do you think? Like, we can make Umrah and then we can be friends. Was it like that?
No.
No. What do you think it was like?
Horrible.
It was a horrible agreement. And it said that anybody who becomes Muslim has to get sent back to the non-Muslims. And anyone who leaves Islam has to be free to go to the non-Muslims. And the Muslims are not allowed to make Umrah this year. They have to go back and turn away. A lot of things in that treaty were very hard. What do you think Abu Bakr said about it, and what do you think Umar said about it? Kind of, you're close. Umar was very upset about it. He was really upset. He wanted to know why. He said, "Oh, Messenger of Allah, are you not the Messenger of Allah? Are you the Messenger of Allah?" He said, "Yes, I'm the Messenger of Allah." He said, "Are we not Muslims?" He said, "Yes." He said, "Are they not non-Muslims?" He said, "Yes." He said, "Okay, so why are we making this agreement with them? Why don't we take our swords and we fight them right here, right now? Why are we making this agreement with them?" And they went to Abu Bakr and they asked Abu Bakr. And Abu Bakr said, "Just wait. Be patient. What the Prophet said, he's not going to do something wrong. If he said to do it, just do what he said." And that also showed why Abu Bakr was better than everybody else. Because even in that time, nobody else was wanted to agree to it. Abu Bakr said, "If the Prophet said, we're going to do it, no matter what. Whatever the Prophet said, we're going to agree to it." You know, Abu Bakr, he used to call that day the day of victory. That's so strange, right? Why would you call that day the day of victory? He said many people didn't see what was happening between the Prophet Muhammad and what Allah told him about. He said the slaves of Allah hurry things up, but Allah does not rush things like they do. But Allah allows things to happen the way that He wanted them to happen. He said in the last Hajj the Prophet made, I saw Suhail ibn Amr, the person who was making this agreement from the non-Muslims. And what do you think Abu Bakr saw Suhail doing? Suhail was not a Muslim before in this treaty. He was the one who was refused. Suhail was the one who, when they said, "Write Messenger of Allah," he said, "I'm not going to write it because he's not the Messenger of Allah." Do you understand? So when they said to Suhail, "Write, this is agreement between the Messenger of Allah and between," he said, "I'm not going to write it because he's not the Messenger of Allah." He said, "I'm not going to accept it." What did he see Suhail doing in the farewell Hajj? What did Abu Bakr see Suhail doing? Making Hajj with the Muslims, and he was taking the shaved head, the hair of the Prophet ﷺ, and he was putting it onto his eyes and putting it so that he could get blessings. He was taking the hair of the Prophet ﷺ and he was putting it on his eyes. He became Muslim. Can you imagine that? The people that were fighting the Muslims all became Muslim. What was the benefit of that treaty? What did the Muslims benefit from it? What was the good thing that came from it? Tell me simple way, you don't have to tell me complicated way. What was the best thing that came from that treaty? That agreement they made? Sorry?
They became friends.
No, they didn't become friends until the very end.
They became Muslims.
Later on, you're right, but before that, what did it give the Muslims? It gave the Muslims something nobody was thinking about. The girls know the answer. It gave the Muslims time, free time, to do other things. Because before then, what was happening? Every day was fighting between them. So it gave them time to become really strong. And after that, they went to Mecca and they conquered Mecca and Mecca became Muslim. And that was the end of it. And the reason that they were able to conquer Mecca after Allah's help was because they made that agreement with them. But someone might say, didn't you say, Muhammad Tim, that in that agreement that the Muslims have to be sent back to Mecca? Wasn't that true, that the Muslims have to be sent back to Mecca? It was true. The Muslims had to go back to Mecca. But what happened? They didn't go. As soon as what they did is, they got halfway and they camped there and they just made trouble for the non-Muslims all the time. Every time they were going between Mecca and Medina, they just made trouble for them. Until they said, okay, please just send them back, keep them in Medina. We don't want them. So that treaty worked out very, very well for all of the Muslims. Lastly, I just want to come forward to a little bit towards the last year before the Prophet ﷺ died. Not the last year, this is the ninth year of the Hijrah. The ninth year after the Hijrah. I want to come back to that time, the ninth year after the Hijrah. In that time, the Muslims did their first Hajj. I want to ask you guys a question. Come on, boys, pay attention. Muslims went to Hajj. Who led the Hajj? Go on, Noam, what do you think? That's a very clever answer. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That's the wrong answer. It's a very good answer, Allah. It's a very good answer.
Abu Bakr.
You're right. But that was not the ninth year, that was the year after. That was the tenth year, okay? So the ninth year, it was Abu Bakr. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't want to go because still at that time, there were non-Muslims making the Hajj. And he didn't want to go and make Hajj with them. Why did he not want to go and make Hajj with them?
Because they were not Muslim,
okay, good. Girls, what do you think? They were doing Hajj the wrong way. They used to do Hajj without any clothes on. Very silly. They used to do Hajj without any clothes on. Very strange things. So the Prophet ﷺ, he didn't want to make Hajj with them. He sent Abu Bakr the first time, and then after that, then he told Ali to tell everybody that after this year, no one of these non-Muslims is going to come to Hajj. And no one is going to go around the Kaaba without their clothes. Everyone is going to be dressed properly, everyone's going to make Hajj properly. So Ali told them, this is the last year. After this, no more. And that's what happened. And in the 10th year, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he did his Hajj. He did his Hajj, the farewell Hajj. And then the Prophet ﷺ came back to Medina. Before that, there was something really, really amazing happened. After the conquest of Mecca, girls, can you just mute your audio? It's really making a lot of noise. Just mute it right until you give an answer. Okay. So, after Mecca, the Muslims tried to attack Taif. Okay? And they surrounded Taif in a siege. Do you know what a siege is? What's a siege? It's where an army goes all the way around a city and they don't let anybody go out and they don't let any food or anything come inside. And they try to make the people of the city come out so that they can go into the city. Do you understand? Like the army goes all the way around, makes like a circle around the city. They don't let anybody in or out. The Muslims, they laid siege to Taif all the way around. But they couldn't break in. And Abu Bakr's son, Abdullah, was shot by an arrow. He lived for a little while, but he died when he went back to Medina. And Abu Bakr's son, Abdullah, died. And he died from that arrow in Taif. Not long later, the people of Taif became Muslims. And they came to Medina to accept Islam. They came to Medina to accept Islam. And Abu Bakr showed the arrow. He didn't tell what the arrow was from. He said to them, "Does anyone know whose arrow this is?" And there was a man there called Sa'id ibn Ubayd. He said, "It's my arrow. I made it and I fired it. I was the one who sharpened it. I was the one who put the feather on the arrow and I was the one who fired it." And Abu Bakr said to him, "This is the arrow that killed my son Abdullah." What do you think Abu Bakr said to that man? What do you think Abu Bakr said to that man? Imagine that he's sitting in front of the man who fired the arrow to kill his son. Can you imagine that? He's sitting in front of the man who fired the arrow to kill his son. He says, "Whose arrow is this?" The man says, "My arrow." He said, "This is the arrow that killed my son." What do you think he said to him? "Get out. Get out from Medina. I don't want to see you again." What do you think he said to him? Girls, you have any idea? You know Abu Bakr by now. You heard his story so much. The girl said he would have said something nice. Do you think so, boys?
No.
He said, "Alhamdulillah, the one who honored my son with your hand and didn't humiliate you with his hand." Meaning, alhamdulillah, that my son was accepted by Allah as someone who died for Allah because of you. Alhamdulillah, he didn't kill you so you could become Muslim. That's what he said. He said, "Alhamdulillah, my son was able to die for the sake of Allah. And alhamdulillah, you didn't die. Because if you died then, you would have not been a Muslim at that time. So alhamdulillah, he died and alhamdulillah, you didn't die. That was the kind of person who Abu Bakr. When we go towards the end of the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, before that we just talk quickly about the Battle of Tabuk. Yes. He became Muslim.
Was he surrounded?
Yeah, I don't know if he fought in the Battle of Taif or not. I'm not sure. In the Battle of Tabuk, a really famous story happened with Abu Bakr. We're going to do 5 more minutes, guys. A really famous story happened with Abu Bakr in the Battle of Tabuk. When they were preparing for the battle, Umar decided, "Today I'm going to beat Abu Bakr. Today I'm going to do one time in my life, I'm going to do something better than Abu Bakr." So Umar came and half of his wealth, half of everything. Can you imagine half of everything your mom and dad owns? Can you imagine that? House, car, whatever, everything he sold it, he took half. And he gave it to the Prophet ﷺ. The Prophet ﷺ said to him, "Umar, what have you got left?" He said, "I've got the same. You know, I've given you the same, I've got the same left, like half and half." And Umar thought, Today I won. Today I beat Abu Bakr. Abu Bakr came along, he put down some wealth. Prophet ﷺ said, "What did you leave behind?" He said, "I didn't leave anything behind except Allah and His Messenger ﷺ." أَدْقَيْتُ لَهُمُ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولُهُ. Meaning Abu Bakr gave everything he had. Every single thing that he had. Umar said, I'm never going to compete with Abu Bakr in anything ever again. I will never be able to compete with him. I cannot. I give half, he give everything. I cannot. When the Prophet was dying, he told Abu Bakr to lead the prayer. Why do you think that's important? That he told Abu Bakr to lead the prayer. Why do you think it's important that he told Abu Bakr to lead the prayer? Good, the girls have got a good answer. They said the prayer is really important. So whoever leads the prayer is the one who's leading the people. Right? Whoever leads the prayer is the one who's leading the people. So it's like he was saying to the people, what was he saying to the people? What was he saying to the people? When he said to Abu Bakr, lead the prayer. What was he saying to them? Abu Bakr is going to be your leader after me. That's what he was saying to them, that Abu Bakr is going to be your leader after me. So after I'm gone, who is going to be in charge? Abu Bakr is going to be in charge. Before we talk about Abu Bakr being in charge, what happened when the Prophet ﷺ died? So when the Prophet ﷺ died, how do you think the Sahaba felt when he died? How do you think they felt when the Prophet died?
Sad.
Very sad. How else do you think they felt?
Can I ask a question? So how did...
Have a think about it and then you can ask it, okay? So the girl said confused. That's very good. That's very true. Confused, like a bit lost. Imagine you've got the Prophet, you're always with the Prophet. The Prophet's telling you what to do. The Prophet's telling you this is right, this is wrong. If you've got any problem, you go and ask him what to do. And he gives you the guidance from Allah. What do you do when the Prophet's not there anymore? You feel confused, you feel lost, you feel sad. Okay. That's so true, right? Yeah, remember your question?
How did the Prophet die?
He died. So I said, because he was just a person. He was not an angel. He was not like someone who lives forever. He was a person. And he died after he finished his job. After everything was done that he had to do. And one day before he died, he stood up and he said that Allah has given someone a choice between this world or Jannah. And that person chose Jannah. And Abu Bakr started to cry. Why do you think Abu Bakr, nobody else cried? Umar said we didn't have any idea why is Abu Bakr crying. So the Prophet Muhammad stood up and he said, Allah gave a choice to a man whether he wants to live in this world or go to Jannah. And he chose Jannah. And Abu Bakr started to cry and cry and cry. And Umar said, we didn't know why is he crying. The girls know the answer. What do you think?
Is it because the Prophet is implying that he was asked whether to go to Jannah or stay?
Excellent. Because that man was the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Abu Bakr knew that he's saying that I'm going to die. I've chosen. Now that I don't want to stay on this world anymore, I've done my job. And I want to go to the hereafter, I want to go to the next life. And what is with Allah? I want my reward that is with Allah. So Abu Bakr was the only one of them who understood. Everybody else didn't understand. What does that tell you about Abu Bakr? Does it not tell you he's the most knowledgeable out of all of the companions, right?
Yeah.
It tells out of all of the companions, he was the one who had the most knowledge. He was the most knowledgeable. And when he saw the Prophet ﷺ had died, he lifted the cover from his face and he kissed him on the forehead. And he said to him that Allah is not going to make you die twice. You're not going to come back to life and die again. That's it. When he went out, the people were in threes or in two different groups. Some people, they just would not believe the Prophet died. Umar said, if anyone says the Prophet died, I'm going to hit him with my sword. I'm going to hit his neck with my sword. If anybody says the Prophet died, he didn't die. He's just gone to meet with Allah and he's going to come back. That's what Umar said. And Ali radiallahu anhu, he was just by himself. He just kept by himself. He's still, I don't want to talk to anybody. He was just sad by himself. And then Abu Bakr, he stood up in front of everybody. And he said, مَنْ كَانَ يَعْبُدُ مُحَمَّدًا فَإِنَّ مُحَمَّدًا قَدْ مَاتِ. Whoever used to worship Muhammad, Muhammad died. وَمَنْ كَانَ يَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ حَيٌّ لَا يَمُوتُ. And whoever worships Allah, Allah is the ever living and Allah doesn't die. What's Abu Bakr saying? What's he trying to tell the people?
That he died but he went to heaven.
The girl said a very good thing, that the Prophet ﷺ was a person, he wasn't a god. So you don't worship him instead of Allah. What else?
That Allah's message will live forever.
Allah's message will live forever. Excellent. So the last thing I'm going to tell you guys about, and then we're going to finish the class, is how did Abu Bakr become in charge of all of the Muslims? How did Abu Bakr become in charge? So when the Prophet ﷺ died, there was a bit of disagreement about who should be in charge. Some of the people from the people of Medina, the Ansar, they said, we should be in charge. We're in Medina, right? It's our city. Now we should be in charge. Some of the people in Makkah, they tried to select who's going to be in charge. And then some people said, we should have one of us and one of you should have two people in charge. We should have two people in charge. So Abu Bakr, he actually spoke to them. And Abu Bakr, he said to them, you know that the Prophet ﷺ said that it has to be Quraysh to be in charge. So I want you to choose one of two people. Either you choose Umar, or either you choose Abu Ubaidah. Which one do you want to be in charge? Because it has to be someone from Quraysh. And they agreed that it has to be someone from Quraysh. So they said, who shall it be? Who will it be? Will it be Umar or will it be Abu Ubaidah? Which one will it be? Umar or Abu Ubaidah? So which one was it? Umar.
Umar.
The girls only got it right. What did the girls say? Neither of them. Neither of them. Instead, what happened is that Umar, he took his hand out, and Abu Ubaidah took his hand out. And Abu Ubaidah said, I will never ever. Alhamdulillah. Abu Ubaidah took his hand out. He said, I will never agree to be in charge while Abu Bakr is here. He said, Abu Bakr, give me your hand. So Abu Bakr gave his hand. Abu Ubaidah took his hand and he said, that I am going to follow you, you're going to be the leader. And then Umar, and then all of the people from the Ansar, and they all agreed for Abu Bakr to be the leader out of all of them. They all agreed for Abu Bakr to be the leader out of all of them. Now, in the next topic, we're going to talk a little bit about Umar. Next lesson. But I've got a little bit of homework for you. Just to finish off the story of Abu Bakr. I want you to find out, how long was Abu Bakr in charge of the Muslims for? And how did he die? How long was Abu Bakr in charge of the Muslims for? And how did he die? No answers now. You research it. You come back to me next lesson, you tell me, okay? How long was Abu Bakr in charge of the Muslims for? And how did Abu Bakr die? Okay, quick questions before we finish off. Who has a question they want to ask? You've boys been listening for a long time, so a long lesson today, huh? You guys are like, okay, khalas, we're going to finish now. Who has a question? Good. What's your question? What's your question? You don't know? Okay, think about it. You have a question. I'm not letting you go till you have a good question. Someone has to ask me a good question, otherwise I don't let you go. One from the girls and one from the boys. Okay. He's thinking, go on.
Was Abu Bakr there when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam died?
Shortly after, at least. Very good. The boys answered their question. Now the girls have to answer their question. Yes, what was it? The cave that Abu Bakr and the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam were hiding in was in the mountain of Thawr. But I don't remember that the cave has a name. It's just called the cave in the mountain of Thawr. Now look how many questions. Yes.
Prophet Muhammad, did he die in the battle?
No, he didn't die in the battle. He actually died because someone gave him poisoned meat. But he didn't kill him straight away, but it took a long time. And then he died because Allah gave him a choice between if you want to live on this world until the day of judgment or you want to die. And he chose that I want to die. Boys answer, very good. Girls, question? Nah, they don't have any questions. Okay, no problem. That's what Allah made easy for us to mention. Allah knows best. Wa salatu wa salam ala Nabina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Well done, guys. You did amazing.